Let's let him have his great liberty tonight.
Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate you. Come on, if you love your pastor, put your hands together and give the... Come on. Come on, I know you love your pastor. And his awesome family. What an awesome family, huh? Amazing family. Y'all excited to be in God's house tonight? Thank you, Pastor. It's a joy to be in Heber Springs and excited about what God's going to do in this place tonight. Thank you for the honor to be in your pulpit. I consider it a great joy tonight. So many people I know, not just from Little Rock. It's good to have my associate pastor and his wife, Dennis and Sharon Jumper, in the house. One of my deacons, Frank Hill. I didn't know the Jumpers were coming. I knew Frank was coming, and Macy said, "Why is Frank coming?" I said, "I think to be my bodyguard, I think." So, amen. So y'all don't be throwing anything at me, because I got a bodyguard over there tonight. He's watching tonight, but so glad y'all made the drive up. And so many friends just in the house, as Pastor said, many of you have come down to our revival weekends, and so many familiar faces that I see. Hated that Alyssa wasn't here tonight. She let us know she wasn't going to be here tonight. But, man, we've just been praying for her from the day this all started, and thankful that God has raised up a voice like Alyssa Brown. Thank God for her. Amen. Yeah. And it's good to have my sidekick, my ride or die, Macy Maynard, our youngest daughter. Give it up for Macy. She said, We have youth on Sunday nights, and she skipped youth. She said, "Dad, I want to go with you." And I was glad she did, because Crystal, my wife, she couldn't come tonight. And I said, "You know, since you're driving and you've got a driver's permit, you can drive me all the way there." And don't be nervous or anything. This girl, her first day of driving, I took her to the 430, 630 interchange, and I said, "Let's interchange it, baby." And she's one of the best. You're probably better than all of you. You're afraid to drive in Little Rock. I know my family comes, and they're like, "You're driving. We're getting in, and we're getting out of town." This girl can drive all over that city. So I just said, "I'm going to put my head back here, pray a little bit on the way, and let you drive." And we was about halfway here, and I said, "You know, Macy, since you're working hard tonight, you know, you're driving, and you're working tonight, I'm going to give you a portion of the offering. Whatever the offering is, I'm going to give you a portion of it." And she said, "Well, Dad, I'm going to start praying right now for a big offering." Amen. So, oh, my word. And so my wife is a PK as well. And one time, my father-in-law, he was telling me that he took my wife when she was just a little girl to a revival. And it was a small town, small church. There weren't more than 20 people there. And he had preached the night before, and the offering was less than $10. And so the next night, he took my wife, his daughter, and she was just 7 or 8. And he said, "Honey, if you'll go with me tonight, keep me company, I'll give you the entire offering." Well, that night, somebody walked in and put a $2,000 check in the offering. And so I didn't tell her I was going to give her the whole offering. Amen. But praise God. Well, how many of you believe tonight is going to be a night of miracles and breakthroughs? And I read somewhere it's revival weekend at Heber Springs First Assembly. Is anybody hungry for revival in this room? Come on, throw your hands up right now and tell the Lord, open your mouth. "God, we want a fresh visitation. We want a fresh touch of your spirit in this place tonight." Come on, I want you to open your mouth. Take about 30 seconds right now and put something into this atmosphere. Come on, put some faith out into this atmosphere. Put some belief out here. Come on, whatever you're believing God to do, go ahead and let them hear it right now. "God, this is what I desire. This is what I want. This is what I need tonight." Come on, let's ask him for it tonight. He says, "You have not because you ask not." So Lord, we ask you for signs and wonders and miracles. Do the impossible. Break chains in this place. Heal the sick tonight, Lord God. Move by your power. Move by your spirit. Let your anointing flow. Let it flow freely in this place. And all God's people said amen and amen. Praise God. Open your Bibles, please. And I want you to turn to two passages. And I want us to first turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And then we're going to find Mark 14. If you want to find both of those now. If not, we'll start in 2 Corinthians chapter number two this evening. Will you stand, please, for the reading of God's word? Let your blood flow a little bit before you're seated for the next 3 hours while I preach. Amen. Hallelujah. By the way, I'm a southern preacher. That means if you talk back to me, I tend to preach quicker. But if you're quiet, I have been known to be long-winded. Amen. Southern preacher. We like a talk-back crowd, and we like our chicken fried. Amen. Fry that chicken. Don't bake it. Hallelujah. So you talk back to me, and we'll get through this together. I think it was the end of the second song. A little boy back there on the second row, he said, "Is church over yet?" Oh, the Lord, he don't even know what's coming his way tonight. His church second song, "Is church over yet?" Amen. He already left, didn't he? He's gone. He's out of here. He's eating fried chicken. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, please. And I want to look at verse number 14. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. The Apostle Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, he says, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ Jesus always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance." Somebody shout, "Spreads the fragrance." He spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ. Say, the aroma of Christ. We are that aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and to those who are perishing. Next verse, verse 16. To one, a fragrance from death to death, and to the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? I want to preach tonight a message entitled, "The Aroma of Your Praise." What if I told you that your next level, what if I told you, Heber Springs First Assembly, that your next move of God, what if I told you your next individual and your next corporate revival, your next breakthrough? What if I told you tonight, Pastor, your next miracle, your next answered prayer is on the next side of your praise? If you believe it, take about 15 more seconds and give the Lord King Jesus your highest and your greatest praise tonight. Come on and lift Him up all over this room. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I thank You for the reading of Your word tonight, and I thank You for this opportunity to preach, and I pray that You will speak to our hearts and change our lives. Father, that the aroma of our praise and the aroma of Your presence will rest in this place. God, in a way that when we come to the conclusion of our time together, You meet us in these altars and You heal the sick, You set captives free. God, You break chains and You move mountains, oh God, that You move by Your Spirit and You move by Your power, and that we're never the same again. And all God's people said aloud, amen. You may be seated tonight. How many of you know if you don't praise Him, He don't come? My Bible still says in Psalms 22, I believe verse 3, that He inhabits the praises of His people. There's something about your praise that puts a draw on the presence of God. Preaching does not put a draw on the presence of God. No matter how good the preaching is, it's not your preaching that brings in the presence of God. Just because you came to church tonight doesn't mean it's going to put a draw on the presence of God. Even singing a song, your favorite song, necessarily doesn't put a draw on the presence of God. But there's something about a praise. There's something about a cry. There's something about a worship that God says, I've got to go and I've got to dwell in the midst of My people who are praising My name. Can I tell you tonight, He still inhabits our praise. He dwells in the praises of His people. His presence, His glory, His fire, His anointing. I'm telling you, your breakthrough, your miracle, your deliverance, your healing, it all dwells and it all rises on your praise tonight. If I were you, I would praise my way through the rest of this service, knowing you can't outpraise God. It's going to put a draw on Him tonight. Matter of fact, I'm a praiser, so I just want to take about 10 more seconds. Can we just clap our hands and shout unto God with the voice of triumph tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, turn there, and I see so many of you writing notes. Pastor, you got these people trained good. Amen. They're writing notes, and I don't even know if I'll give them anything good to write down, but they're writing. Hallelujah. Mark chapter number 14, look at this with me, beginning in verse number 3 tonight. Mark 14, verse 3. Any way I could get a little monitor in this with this mic, that'd be great. If not, that's okay too, but that would be helpful if possible. Mark chapter number 14, look at verse number 3. The Bible tells this powerful story, a story that Jesus concludes by saying, as long as this gospel's preached, this story is going to be told in memory of her. And here's the story. It says that while Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, and as he was reclining at the table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly, and she broke the flask, and she poured it over his head. There were some who said to themselves indignantly, "Why was this ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they scolded the woman. But Jesus said in verse number 6, "Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. And she has done what she could. She's anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told of her." Now be careful saying amen. I told you I like a talk back corner and an amen corner. But what I'm about to say to you, especially to the men, I'm going to say to the men, be careful saying amen to what I'm about to say for the next couple minutes. Then I'll tell you when it's safe again to say amen. Everybody understand? Nod your head. I don't want any men to get in trouble tonight by your wives. So keep your mouth closed. No amens for at least a minute. I'll tell you here in a moment when it's safe to say amen again. In the time of Jesus, women were regarded just a little higher than livestock. Don't say amen. A woman in the time of Jesus had no voice in her marriage. Her father decided when she would marry, who she would marry, and why she would marry. Matter of fact, we are told that in the Talmud, 100 women equaled, listen to this, 100 women was equal to 2 men. That was the Jewish custom and the Jewish belief in regards to women. Jewish males, they tell us, they prayed in their prayer of thanksgiving, and you can look at the prayer of thanksgiving they prayed. And in that prayer, Pastor, they prayed, "Praise God, I'm not a Gentile. Praise God that I'm not an ignorant person. And praise God that I'm not a woman." Be careful, men. A woman could not be seen publicly talking to a man. A man that was not her husband, it was taboo. It was countercultural for a woman to be in the presence of a man that was not her husband and to have any conversation or any dialogue with him. That was the fare of women before Christ. Now you can say amen. Jesus came and all of that changed. And when Jesus came, there was no longer Jews nor Greek. There was no longer slave nor free. And your Bible says when Jesus came, there was no longer male or female. Mark doesn't give us here in our reading, he doesn't give us the name of this woman that brings in a jar of costly oil, breaks it, and pours the oil upon our master and upon Jesus. He doesn't give us the woman's name. He calls her the woman with the alabaster box. However, in the Gospel of John, John tells us the same story, and John gives us this woman's name. John 11, verse 2 says that it was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. It was this person by the name of Mary. Now, we know that this Mary, in the context of that passage, and we'll get to that in John here in a few moments, Mary was the sister of Martha. She was the sister of Lazarus. You know that story. And Mary has broken, here in our text, here in the Gospel of Mark 14, Mary has broken two social, two cultural, and even two spiritual taboos. Because in every public space, church family, even not in public spaces, private places, in people's homes, everywhere you would go, there would be what would be known as a space for the men. This would be public, and it would also be in the home. Today we call these private places for men, we call them man caves. Amen. And in Jesus's day and time, there would be these spaces for the men, a space that only men could enter. It was off limits, if you will, to women. And in our text, Mary, she has crossed the line here because she is in a space that belongs to men. But Pastor, she's not only in a space that belongs to men, we find her in a posture as well that belongs to men also. Jesus and his disciples in the home of Simon the leper, they were reclining at the table. And the Bible says that she came and that she sat at his feet. She's not only in a space for men, but she has now found herself in a posture that belongs to a disciple. She is seated at the face of Jesus. She is seated at the feet of Jesus and in his space, in a space that is reserved only for men. Listen to me. She did the very same thing when she walked into Martha's home and sat at the feet of Jesus. You can turn over a book to the Gospel of Luke chapter 10. Look at it with me here tonight. Mary went into Martha's home and she sat at Jesus' feet while Martha was busy in the kitchen, which would have been a space for women. Look at it. Luke chapter 10, verse number 38. It says, now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and she said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone, or left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you're anxious, you're troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Listen to it. He said, Martha, Mary has chosen the good thing, or the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Martha is in the kitchen, Mary is in the men's space, and she is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his teaching. You can almost see Martha inside the kitchen, and she's getting dinner ready, she's setting the table, and she just keeps looking out of the corner of her eye, looking at Mary inside there with Jesus, and all around the men, and in there with the disciples. She keeps looking out of the corner of her eye, and you can almost feel Martha's temper start to rise. I mean, she's getting upset about what Mary's doing. She's getting a little noisy. I can almost hear Martha inside that kitchen slamming a few pots and pans. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about tonight. She wants everybody in the house to know she's not happy that Mary is inside there sitting at the feet of Jesus. She's getting a little upset. She's slamming cabinet doors. She's hoping Mary will get the clue. We'll hear her inside that kitchen, because Mary is in a space reserved for men, but she ought to be in here helping me. That was the spirit of Martha. She ought to be in here getting this table set, getting the napkins out, setting the place settings, putting ice in the cups, helping me roll the bread. Come on, somebody, helping me cook the casserole, helping me get the dinner ready for these men. Instead, she's sitting in there and she's at the feet of Jesus, and Martha, begin to get very, very upset. But our text tells us that Jesus says, Martha, listen to me. You're getting all hysterical. Allow me some freedom tonight. It says that he told her, you're getting anxious. You're getting hysterical. You're getting all all flustered. Martha, your blood pressure, it's going up and it's going out of the roof. Listen, you're getting all upset about where a glass and where a fork and where a plate is supposed to set. You're getting all upset that she's in here and you're in there. You're getting all upset about the dinner. Listen to me, Martha, that's not important. Whatever you're cooking in there, thank you, Martha. I'm sure it's going to be a good meal, but that's not important. The beautiful arrangement. Listen, I know you ladies, I'm married to one. The hospitality anointing on a wife. I hope I don't fall off this pulpit. Amen. Y'all got faith or off this platform. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, Mary, listen, I know you want to have it nice. You want to have it look good. And I know that you want to put out a table spread and you're proud of what you're putting together. But Martha, listen to me. That's not important. What's important is what Mary has chosen. What's important is that Mary has chosen the good part. Mary has chosen what she should have chosen. And Martha, hear me. I will not take that from her. Is there anybody in this house tonight? So your Bible says that Jesus and others, they're reclining at the table of Simon the leper to eat when Mary enters the room and she's carrying a jar that the Bible says is filled with very expensive perfume or ointment or oil, if you will. This expensive perfume would have been made from pure nard, which would have been imported from India, a plant that was grown in India, imported into Israel. This is a very expensive ointment. Matter of fact, your Bible says that the value of what was in this container was worth 300 denarii. Now, in that, what that basically means is the Jews lived off of about one denarii a day, which means 300. This woman had inside this alabaster jar, she had something that had contents that valued nearly a year's wages. Think about that for just a moment. A year's wages inside this jar, a year's salary, if you will. How many of you know that's a lot of denarii for a little bottle of perfume? Glory to God. But hear me today. Mary, the Bible says, she enters into that room and she makes her way straight over to Jesus and she breaks, our text says, she breaks the jar and she begins to pour this perfume over the master. She begins to literally wash his feet with this ointment. And it's interesting to me that your Bible says that she broke the jar. She didn't just open it. She didn't just pour it out. She broke the jar, and that's interesting to me, Pastor, for a couple of reasons. First of all, we know the value of the contents because the Bible tells us 300 denarii. But have you ever thought about the value of the jar itself? Have you ever thought about the value that the alabaster jar, or as the famous song, the alabaster box, have you ever thought about the value of the alabaster jar itself? Alabaster, in and of itself, was very costly. And I was reading as I was studying for this message that families would take these jars, these alabaster jars, and they would have them painted by artists. They would be professionally painted, and literally they were a family heirloom. It's as if it was almost like a centerpiece in your home that maybe was passed down to you by your mother, that was passed down to her by her mother. This isn't something you got up at Hobby Lobby on the 50% off sale. This was a family heirloom. This had value because it was something that had been given to her, passed down to her. It was literally a piece of art. It was a focal point in her home. And it's interesting to me because when she breaks the jar, she wasn't just saying that he's worthy of the contents inside it. He's saying he's worthy of the jar itself. What she was saying is that Jesus is more important to me than anything. She held nothing back in that moment. She gave her all. She gave everything in that moment of her praise. One thing praise will do is it will reveal a lot about who you are. Y'all want me to preach tonight? Praise will reveal a lot about what a church is and where a church is going. Praise isn't just about revealing who God is. Yes, I know we praise Him according to His reputation. and not according to our situation. That's why it doesn't matter how you walked into church tonight. Doesn't matter what kind of news you got at the doctor. Doesn't matter what kind of day you had. We don't praise God according to what we're going through and what we're facing. We praise God according to who God is. Praise will reveal who God is, but praise will also reveal who we are. Praise will reveal how much we're willing to give. Your praise will reveal how much you're willing to sacrifice. And Mary said, I'm not holding anything back. I'm giving it all. And when she broke the jar, the Bible is clear about the reactions in the room. When the jar broke and the fragrance of the ointment, the fragrance of the perfume began to fill the room, the Bible doesn't hold anything back in regards to the reactions around the room. Everybody in the room, think about it for a minute. Everybody in the room is already a little upset possibly, maybe even a little tense that a woman has walked into the room and sat at the feet of Jesus. So there's already a weirdness. Come on, have you ever felt just that awkward atmosphere before in church? You know, you come in, you're like, man, what is this? What are we going to have to break through tonight? That was already in the room. It was already tense in the room. But then Mary does the unthinkable when she breaks this jar. They're all in shock. Imagine the people reclining at that table. Imagine the people in Simon the leper's house as that ointment and as that fragrance begin to fill the room. Imagine as they hear that costly alabaster, that family heirloom, break and the pieces drop to the floor. Imagine the powerful aroma that begins to fill their nostrils. The Bible says, some said, it's a waste. This is a waste. Imagine how many poor people this could have helped. It's a waste. How could she waste something that had so much value and so much worth? And many of them said, it's a waste. It's too much. It's a waste. Can I tell you something about the spirit of religion? Religion says it's too much. Religion says it's a waste. All of that's not necessary. You don't have to do all that. You don't have to praise that way. You don't have to be so exuberant and so excited. It's a waste. They said it was too much. Listen to me tonight. It might be too much for you. My praise might cause you to say, that's a little bit over the top. It may be too much for you, but it's not too much for me, honey. You may not know where I've come from. You may not know what I've gone through. You may not know what I've walked through this week. So don't judge me as I open up my mouth. Don't judge me as I give my high prayer. It may be too much for you, but it's not too much. It's not too much for me. You have no idea what I walked through this week. Don't judge my worship when you don't know my warfare. Come on, somebody. Listen to me tonight. Don't judge me for lifting up my hands. Maybe I'm lifting up something to God that I can't lift up myself and carry anymore. Don't judge me when I lift up a voice, a shout of God. Don't judge me when I shout to God. Maybe I just can't contain how good He's been. Maybe I'm not as reserved as you, but sometimes I just can't contain the overflow of the victory that He's done in my life. Don't judge my shout. They said it's too much. It's too much. But when man thinks it's too much, God says it's just enough. Did you hear me tonight? Jesus called it beautiful. He said, this is a beautiful thing she's done. Remember, it was in John chapter 12, I told you earlier, that we find out the name of this woman. Her name is Mary. And it was in the 12th chapter of John that we read about this account, the same account of this story, and we're given her name. But listen to me, you can't understand my chapter 12 until you understand my chapter 11. Chapter 11 of John is when Mary's brother Lazarus died. You remember that story. And in chapter 11 of John, the Bible says he dies, and of course Jesus resurrects him. Now if you went home tonight, don't do it now, but if you did it, and you Googled chapter 11, you wouldn't find John chapter 11 in the search engine. You'd find instructions on how to file for bankruptcy. Chapter 11 is it's a bankruptcy term, right? In the U.S. tax code. If you went in and just put in chapter 11, you're going to get a list of how to file for bankruptcy according to the U.S. tax code. And when Lazarus died in chapter 11, Mary was bankrupt. When her brother died, Mary was bankrupt. She was hopeless and helpless. Death and darkness had come knocking on her door, come knocking at her family's house. Grief and hopelessness had settled in her spirit. You remember the text. She said, Jesus, if you would have just been there, and yes, I know someday you will resurrect him. She was hopeless. She was helpless. It had settled in her spirit. Hear me tonight. Some of us in this place, we can't give Jesus a John chapter 12, a kind of praise, a breaking the box, giving our all kind of a praise, because we done forgot our chapter 11. We done forgot I once was dead, but now I'm alive. We done forgot how much he saved us from. Listen, we shouldn't have to tell people how to praise him, or when to praise him, or when to lift up their hands, or when to shout, or when to give God thanks. We shouldn't need preachers and pastors and worship leaders to say, sing now, lift it up now, stand now, sit now. Listen, we shouldn't need Palm Squad telling us, come on, come on, church, you can do it. Come on, come on, if God's been good to you, come on. But we've turned praise into a performance where we've got people up here and we're watching them praise. Maybe it's because we forgot the addiction he brought us out of. Maybe it's we forgot the sin that he set us free from. Maybe it's we've forgotten the altar where we found him in our John chapter 11 experience. Woo, glory. Come on, you ought to take 10 seconds right now and praise him in this room. Glory to God. So when Jesus shows back up, now at Simon's house, back to our original text, when he shows up to Simon's house, whoo, this is good. You're going to want to hear this. They're having dinner, and Mary comes barging through the front doors. And I can almost hear, this is moments after her brother has been resurrected, next chapter. And she comes running in. And when she sees him, she ain't headed to the kitchen, Pastor. She don't care what's on the menu that night. When she sees him, she says, my God, that's the one who stood by me in my darkest hour. That's the one that never left me. That's the one that never forsake. That's the one that raised my brother Lazarus from the dead. That's the one that was with me in my deepest valley and in my darkest hour. That's the one who turned my life around. Is there anybody in this place who's thankful tonight for the one who lifted you out of the pit and the mire? Clay. Glory to God. So they said, why is all this ointment wasted? And I find it interesting that this is coming from Simon the leper's house. A leper who, I don't know how many days, months, possibly up to a year or two, at one point was a leper that Jesus touched. And he was healed. And now Jesus is sitting in the home of a leper who once couldn't have guests come over, who once had to live alone, who once had to walk out and stay away from the crowd and say, unclean, unclean. You would think we would read a story about Simon joining with Mary and Simon getting up and rebuking the people in his home saying, what do you mean? It's a waste. What are you talking about? This woman right here, God did for her what God did for me. But we don't find Simon doing that here in this passage. Instead, we find people saying, it's a waste. Listen to me. Praise is never a waste. Everything else, it is a waste. Hear me today. Listen to me. I love church programs. I'm a pastor. But your programs without a praise is a waste. Potlucks, they're a waste. Hear me today. Our rallies, they're a waste. But your praise is never a waste. Hallelujah. Your PhD that cost you thousands of dollars and you got it hanging up in your office, thank God for your PhD. But listen to me, if you're not a praiser, it's a waste. It's a piece of paper that is worth nothing if you're not a praiser. Your homes, your cars, your boats, your bank account, all them things, nothing's wrong with any of them. But if you're not giving God praise, it's a waste. Somebody shout, it's a waste.
our beautiful churches we're building all over America with stained glass, and we've got choirs, and we've got beautiful marble, and we've got beautiful buildings we're building. Hear me today. If we're filling them churches and we're packing them to capacity, but we're not giving God the praise He's worthy of, it's a waste. It's a waste. We're building a building right now, a $5 million building. We're seeing the steel go up. It's an exciting time. But hear me today. If all we're doing is building something for our glory and we're not filling it with praise, it's a waste. And a lot of what we do in the church today is we're busy and we've got this going and we've got that going, but we've lost our praise. I'm telling you today, don't be the religious spirit in the house when the praise is lifted up to look around and judge everybody else. Instead, join in. Break your alabaster box, because it's never a waste. It's never a waste. It's never a waste. So they start getting on her case for the waste. Jesus, however, received it with gratitude. He said, leave her alone. Somebody shout, leave her alone. Come on, shout it again. Leave it alone. Leave her alone. You know, at our church at TAG, I don't know why they do this, because we've never asked them to do this and we've never told them to do this, but it's a house. Our house in Little Rock is filled with people that used to be out on the street corner selling their bodies, putting needles up their arms. I mean, I'm telling you, the majority of my church is people that come out of darkness, addiction, and they haven't forgotten what God saved them from. Most church people have forgotten. I'll be honest with you. That's why praise is hard. Why is praise hard in the church? Why is praise? It's not hard for somebody that remembers where they were laying in a slum and laying in a place where God came down and saved them. It's not hard for them. It's hard for religious people though. And we've never told our people to do this. They just, I don't really know even when they started doing this, but they do it when that first key on the keyboard or string on the guitar or whatever it is that's leading that song, whenever that first thing hits in the music, people just take off from everywhere all over the building and they fill the front. Matter of fact, the altar space is so packed, I sit on the front row like you are, Pastor, and sometimes I have to have ushers around me because they up there like, you know, shaking their booty and everything right there in my face. I mean, just like, come on, just step. You're getting a little too close, you know. They don't care. They don't care. They just up there, they come running, and they get to the front. And I remember, I don't know, it's been several years now since they've started doing that. We never said come. We never said you got to come down here. They just come running, and they fill the front, and they worship. And when that first started happening, I had Sister Holier Than Thou. How many of you know that? Come on, I know there's one in every church. Amen. Hallelujah. Sister Holier Than Thou come over to me at the door on her way out, and she says, Pastor, I just want to know, if you're going to keep allowing people to go down there in the front during worship, bless God. That's how the spirit of religion sounds. Amen. Are you going to keep allowing people to go down there and worship in the front and get down there? And, you know, I just feel like they're just trying to draw attention to themselves. And I just let her talk. And then she said, you know, I just really feel, Pastor, that really they're just in the flesh. Hallelujah. They're just in the flesh down there. I said, Sister Holier Than Thou. I didn't say that, but you know what I'm saying. I said, Sister so-and-so. I said, let me tell you what the flesh looks like. The flesh looks like this. And I wanted to say it looks like you during worship. It looks like this. You're worried about the flesh? Let me show you what the flesh looks like. I looked at her and I said, listen, leave them alone. Just as Jesus said to the people in the room, leave them alone. Well, I don't like how she shouts, leave her alone. Oh, I don't like how he jumps, leave him alone. I was standing in a service one day, and this wasn't too long ago, and our youth sit over and fill that area over there, and I sit kind of like over in this area, and I look over and it's during worship time and or maybe altar, I forget, but this whole group of teenagers, I look over and they have formed a circle over here. And I don't know, they're probably in that circle. There were about 15 of them or so, and they had got a big circle, and they literally they're in a circle, and they're, I don't even know how to describe what they were doing, Pastor. I looked over in the middle of a Sunday morning service, and they're over here, and they're in a circle, and they're skipping in a circle like this. You got to just think, a big circle, dozen, 15 people, and they're just, they've got arms together like this. They're joined arms, and they're just skipping in a service like this. And I look over, and I thought, what in the world are they doing? And I could just feel somebody in the room saying, oh, I wonder if Pastor's going to let them keep skipping and keep twirling and keep doing circles over there. Yes, 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 yes. You better listen. I want to say, leave them alone. They could be anywhere. They could be out in the club. They could be out in the world. They could be out serving the devil, but they're in the house of God and they're praising the Lord. Leave them alone. I believe I could have preached anything tonight, but God says He's about to take Heber Springs First Assembly to the next level, and the only way you're going there is to give Him a next level kind of praise. And you better get ready, because when you go to the next level, the people that don't worship like you are going to walk through these doors. I prophesy the people that are going to become off the streets and be set free, they're coming in, and they're not going to praise God like you praise God. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. How many of you received that today? I believe something. The next level is for you, but it's going to come in your next level of praise. Whew. So as I was praying, I said, Lord, what to preach tonight? And I know nothing about this church other than the few people I know that go here. I don't know anything. Never been to a service, never seen a service. But here's what I felt, and I wrote this down. Some of you haven't reached that level of praise that I'm talking about tonight, but you're about to as a church. Pastor, what do you mean? Preacher, what do you mean? Here's what I heard the Lord say. He said, I'm about to bring this church to the level that many will call too much. Too much. Too much. I've come to tell you tonight on assignment, it's time to break the box. It's time to break the box. It's time to open loose our praise. It's time to give God something that He's worthy of. It's time to say, I don't care about this and I don't care about that. It's all a waste, but it's not a waste when I give it to God. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you better stand back because I'm about to break the box. Come on, I said it's time to break the box. It's time to break the box. Woo! Neighbor, you better step back about 50 feet because I'm going to need some room because I'm about to break the box. Listen to me. Neighbor, all you've heard so far out of me is halle. But I'm about to break the box and you're about to hear my luya, hallelujah. I said, all you've heard is my little halle, but you're about to hear my hallelujah. You're about to hear the other side of my praise. Neighbor, you better step back. Listen, I can't make you want anything, but I can tell you if you will go deeper than you've ever gone in your praise, there's going to be things break open in this place. There's going to be atmospheres that are going to change. There's going to be miracles that are going to be easy. There's going to be breakthroughs. There's going to be things happen when your praise goes to a level it's never been before. Somebody shout. Out, yes. Neighbor, you better give me some space. You better give me some space. We was coming back from Springfield yesterday, and my wife, she got this text from somebody in our church. They said, Pastor, is it okay if I bring flags? Because I like to worship with flags. And she said, how do I answer this question? And I said, honey, I'm not going to tell her no. Oh, yeah, I like that. I like how I feel right there. I'm not going to tell her no. Who am I to tell her how she can praise and how she can't praise? I said, the problem is she's going to have to find some space and knock somebody in the head. Listen, listen. Some of you are going to get to heaven, and y'all going to be like the people in the room. Why are they doing that? You ought to read the book of Revelation, everything going on around the throne. There's lightnings, thunders, flashes of lightning. Glory to God. I mean, listen, we come in, we get upset because the lights are too bright or the lights are too dim or the sound's too high or the sound's too low. Listen, I can go into church. I don't care if it looks like a rock show. People say, well, it looks like a rock show, bless God. I don't care if it looks like a rock show or a funeral home. I'm giving him my praise because he's worthy of it all. I said, as long as she don't knock somebody in the head, amen. Knock them upside the head, glory to God. Let her praise with her flags. There's things I believe we're going to get to heaven. There's rainbows in the throne. There's all kinds of things happening around that throne. There's four living creatures. There's elders casting their crowns before him. There's activity. There's things going on. There's a cry constantly. It never ceases. Holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty. Oh, God, let that kind of worship fill the earth as it is in heaven. Let it be on this earth. I can feel in this room right now there's a hunger to go to another level. I know this is a good church. I didn't know anything about the church, but I know this is a good church. I know this pastor. I know this is a healthy place. And I believe the word of the Lord and the assignment is it is time to break the box. Hallelujah. It's time to give God an in spite of kind of praise. I'm talking about I'm going to praise God in spite of what's going on in my life. In spite of the tears that I've had to shed, I'm going to praise him. In spite of the loneliness in the midnight hour, I'm going to praise him. In spite of this illness, in spite of my failures, in spite of my trouble on every side, in spite of what's in my bank account, in spite of my unsafe spouse, in spite of it all, somebody shout, in spite of, I'm going to praise him. Now, you don't have to praise him. Just get out of my way. Just stand back. Give me some room because I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to tell you, I don't know what all has generated to the revival. We've been in sustained revival now for Pastor Dennis, 9, 10 years? I mean, we've carried revival for a decade, Pastor. We believe if revival can be birthed, then it can be cultivated and sustained. And we just quit believing a long time ago that revival's around the corner. I lived all my life hearing that. Oh, we're on the verge of revival. It's just around the corner. Finally, I'm just like, man, we're just going to have revival. Like, we're always about to have it. Let's just go and have it. Amen. So we changed our culture to revival is not something we are, something we go to. It's something we are, just like the church. We don't go to church. We are the church. Same thing with revival. Amen. We don't go to revival. We are revival. Amen. We're revival carriers, and there's been lots of things that's contributed not only to the birth of revival, but to be able to sustain it and to literally see hundreds of people come into revival, come into an atmosphere that I thank you for them words about the seeds of revival, because we're beginning now a decade later starting to see that as people are coming from other states and pastors are coming and all these prophecies over the years that are now being fulfilled. And so we thank God for all them things. But I'm going to tell you right now, the one thing, and there's many of them, but one thing that I know has helped sustain that move of God more than anything else is the praise. Because praise changes atmospheres. And if you keep an atmosphere changed for a period of time, it eventually will change the culture. Just like there's certain places you like to travel because you know the culture is going to be mild. You know the temperature is going to be good. The atmosphere is always conducive to that kind of culture. And your praise is going to create an atmosphere. Something we've got to learn, and I'm done literally in less than 5 minutes. If you'll give me that, I'm done. Matter of fact, if the team could begin to make their way, I'm done. But I want you to hear this. I'm telling you right now, one thing you've got to learn about praise and you've got to learn about atmospheres is we do not yield to atmospheres. We don't come in and say, oh, this atmosphere kind of seems dry today, or this atmosphere kind of seems like a tough one to break through. And we've all been in services like that where it just felt like, you know, no. We listen, we don't yield to atmospheres. We change atmospheres. Your praise will change the atmosphere. And if this church, if any church will continue to change the atmosphere with your praise, eventually the culture will be praised and you won't have to tell people to praise him. We change atmospheres. So you know the story in the book of Acts where Paul and Silas were in a prison cell. And in that prison cell, they begin to sing praises to God. You think they felt like it? You think that's what they wanted to do necessarily? No. They knew the power of their praise. And as they begin to praise God, literally his presence came into that place. And not only were they set free, but everybody in the prison was set free. I'm bringing this full circle. I said everybody in the prison was set free. Their praise broke chains around them. I tell our people, you may not want to praise for you, but there's people sitting around you this morning that need you to praise for them. Because maybe they walked in and they don't have a praise. Maybe they walked in and they don't know how to praise. Your praise will break the chains around you because your praise creates an atmosphere where bondages break. Your praise will create atmospheres where miracles are easy and healings take place. Come on, how many of you want to live in a day and a time where it's normal for people to be healed of cancer, where the word in this city is go to Heber Springs First Assembly because miracles happen there. Your praise will bring in that kind of anointing. Your praise will do it. Everybody's chains were broke free and they all walked out of that prison because praise changed an atmosphere. So our opening text, Paul said, you are that aroma of Christ everywhere you go, to the saved and the unsaved. It's on you. There's something on you. I can almost imagine, y'all can start playing lightly if you'd like. I can almost imagine as those people inside that house watched with their eyes a woman break a jar and pour oil on the master. And Jesus rebukes those who say it's too much. I can almost imagine as they leave the house that day and they're walking to their homes, as they're going down the street, the aroma of that oil. Have you ever ate at a restaurant? You get home and you smell your clothes. You picked up Japanese hibachi's the worst. Stinking hibachi. Good food, but you'll smell like it. And it'll stain your clothes for days. I can almost imagine the aroma in that room getting on them. And they're walking home. And as people pass by, people say, hey, where have you been? I've been with Jesus. Come on, I'm talking about an aroma of praise that gets on you. To where on Monday, when you walk into work, someone, hey, wait a minute. What is that about? I've been with Jesus. The aroma of praise that attracts people to the master. Stand to your feet all over this room. God's plan is to diffuse the fragrance of Jesus through you and through this church. But the question is, what kind of fragrance are we emitting? What kind of fragrance will they smell on us tomorrow morning? What kind of fragrance do they smell on us, church? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes all over this room. We're about to break the box tonight. We're about to break the box. This room is filled from front to back. It's a good crowd for a Sunday night, really. It's a good-looking crowd for a Sunday night. Spirit of God. And in a room that's filled with this many people, there's no doubt people in this room that can easily identify with Mary in this story. You're a praiser. You've surrendered all. You love his presence. You know the power of praise, how it puts a draw on them.
But no doubt in a room this size, this many people not knowing hardly any of you, no doubt there's other people you might identify more with those in the story that said, hey, wait a minute. Is that necessary? That's a little too extravagant. That's too much. That's too much. When that attitude and when that spirit starts setting up in a heart and when it starts setting up in a church, it's very dangerous. Because it's an attitude and it's a spirit that literally pushes God away. It quenches Him. Instead of that spirit of praise that puts a draw on Him. I believe tonight that God wants to bring us back to a place where He's all we want and He's all we need. And I believe that if we can do what I felt the assignment was, go to another level, not just corporately, but every person in this place, break through tonight and go to a place you've never gone before. Some people, maybe for you, that could just be lifting your hands. It may be the first time you've ever done that. For some people, it'll be shouting. Maybe you've never lifted out a shout of praise, or it's been a long time. This isn't about emotionalism, but listen to me today. We are emotional beings, and God created us to love Him, not just with our spirit, not just with our mind, but with our bodies, with everything inside of us. And one of the things I get tired of hearing from the pulpit in America today is this word, this phrase, just praise Him however you feel comfortable. I'm tired of hearing that because the Bible doesn't tell us that. The Bible tells us how to praise Him. And if it tells us how to praise Him, that means there's a way He wants us to praise Him. It may not be comfortable for me to break the box and to shout, or break the box and to give God a jump or a leap or a run or a cry or whatever it is, but we've got to break the box. It's not about our comfort. It's about praising Him the way He says to praise Him. He says shout. He says dance. He says lift up holy hands. Oh, did you know the word hallelujah? Hallelujah. It's one of the seven words for praise. And it literally means crazy praise. It means ridiculous praise. It's almost like David when he was praising in such a way and Michal looked down and she said, I can't believe you. You're the king. And you'd go out there and act so foolish. And he said, I'll become even more undignified than this. Some may call it foolishness. You ain't seen nothing yet. That's crazy prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've turned it into a slow song. Hallelujah. And I love that song. Hallelujah. We've turned it in, and it's a beautiful song. But I'm talking about something that's foolish. Something that if they don't understand, they'll say, why would you praise Him in such a way? Come on, are you ready to go to another level, church? I said, are you ready to go to another level? Are you ready to go to another level? Here's what's going to happen. When we go to that next level, I believe praise is going to release miracles. Praise is going to release breakthrough tonight. So when I open these altars here in just a moment, I don't want you to just come to give God the highest praise you've ever given Him or to go to the next level. But I want you to come expecting that chains are going to break, that healings are going to take place, because I feel the power of God working in this room right now. Come on. Come on if you're ready. Church, if you're ready, get out of your seat and come fill these altars right now. Come on, come on, come fill these altars right now. Come on, come on, come on right now. Come on, yes, fill the altars. Come and stand from one side to the other. Come lift your hands right now. Lift your hands. Lift your hands to Him. Hey, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, 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 come on. Come on and lift your hands to Him. Lift your hands to Him. Lift your hands to Him. Yes. 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 I need you to praise Him. Don't just sing the words, but let it flow from your heart right now. Let it flow. Let's go to a level tonight, church. Let's go to a level. Usher in heaven tonight. Usher in heaven in this place. Break your jar. 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 Break
your jar. Break your jar. Open up your jar tonight. Pour out the oil. Pour out the oil. You to do something you've never done before. Do something you're not comfortable of. Give Him the highest praise tonight. Lift up your voice in this house. Oh, come on, Paul. Come on, Silas. Where are you tonight? Where's your praise? Oh, there it is. You sound good, church. Lift it, lift it, lift it. Lift it in this house.
No place I'd
lift it.
Be
lift it, Paul. Lift
no
it, Silas. Lift it right now. Lift
no
it right now. Come on, lift your voice. Lift your voice. Go where you've not gone before. Oh, we break our box tonight. We break the box tonight. You haven't seen anything yet. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord, right now.
He's the Lord God Almighty.
Let's sing it. Sing it. Sing. You're worthy of it all. Come on. The Bible says sing unto the Lord. Let's do it. You are worthy of it all. Lift it loud for Him tonight. Sing it to Him.
From you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Sing it loud. You are worthy. Of it all, you are worthy of it all. For from you are all things,
from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Praise tonight.
Jesus. I exalt thee.
Oh, I exalt thee. I exalt thee.
lift up holy hands. We lift up holy hands. Oh, I exalt thee, Lord. You are worthy, God.
Yes, I exalt thee. Oh, yes.
Sing, we exalt thee, O Lord.
We exalt thee, O God.
Now I want to try something. We were singing and sounded beautiful. And we lifted holy hands up and hands were up all over this room. Those are ways we praise God. They're biblical ways we praise God. But there's something the church has lost. I really believe there's two things the church in America has lost that troubles me. Maybe more, but two at the top. One is corporate prayer. I grew up in an Assembly of God church, and I grew up in a time where when the people prayed, they prayed. And there was power in corporate prayer. And I don't know where we've lost that in the church today, to where one person prays in the microphone and we all. But another thing that I feel we've lost in the church, the Pentecostal church, is the shout of praise. And it's not about emotionalism or hype. If it was, it wouldn't be in the Bible. There's power in your shout. Walls come down when we shout. Is he still a God that brings walls down when his people shout? Y'all are warming up right now, but there's something about that shout. And honestly, I don't know what is about to happen here in a few seconds with your shout, but I almost feel in my spirit, if you'll allow me, I feel in my spirit right now that God's going to heal some people here in just a moment in a shout. Not anybody laying hands on you. Not anybody coming and praying or giving you a word. There's something about a shout that brings walls down. Maybe the reason we don't see the miracles and we don't see the walls coming down in the church is because we've lost our shout. We've lost our shout. Well, Pastor, I'm just not a shouter. I'm not an emotional person. Yes, you are. Let's go out to my car. I'll pop my trunk, I'll put your fingers in the back of it, and I'll slam my trunk on your fingers. Let's see if you get emotional real quick, right? Amen. Oh, well, I'm just not a shouter. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Razorback fans. Some of you are so, y'all get up in your living room, nobody even there. You're jumping up shouting. You're up on your feet. Come out of the recliner. Go Hogs, go! Woo, woo! You're giving air high fives. Nobody's in the room. Woo! Go Hogs! But then we come to church. Shout, church. Hallelujah. We've lost corporate prayer, and we've lost the shout. And I'm telling you, it's robbed us of a lot. In the altar, it's robbed us a lot. In the corporate setting, something about your shout. And I know it's got to be in order. It's got to be in the right time. That's what I love about being Pentecostal, is we flow with the Spirit. Sometimes we shout. Sometimes we don't say anything. We get in the flow. Sometimes we clap and we dance and we jump. Sometimes we hit our knees. No service ought to be the same. If we start seeing all of our services predictable and the same, we need revival. We need revival. That's why we're here tonight. We need revival. We need revival in the American church.
That's what I love about being Pentecost. I want to come to church and not know what's going to happen. I want you guys to have a song list, but I want you to be able to get off that list. I want the preacher to be under the anointing to preach what he's prepared, but to prophesy what the Spirit of God gives them. I want to be in a church where I don't know what's going to happen next. I want to be Spirit-led, not man-driven, Spirit-led. So I say we get back what we've lost. And I feel this in my spirit. Your shout's going to release something. And if not for you, someone around you is about to get touched by the power of God. But it ain't coming from just pouring out a little bit of that oil. We sang, we lifted up our hands, let's try to shout. Are you ready? On three. This ain't hype. This ain't emotionalism. This is Bible. Shout unto God with a voice, with a voice, with a voice of triumph, a triumph. Shout. It's not emotionalism. It's got to come from the depth of your spirit. It's not about decibel. Decibel level don't drive demons out of a room. Decibel level doesn't heal the sick. But something about a shout. Oh, something about a voice of triumph. Are you ready? One. God, I pray that in this shout you release miracles and set captives free. Two. Are you ready? Three. Shout. Come on, shout, shout, shout. Shout!
Yeah.
Sing it.
Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise.
Somebody shout!
Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Yeah. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph.
Be healed
shout
in this room.
God with a voice of praise.
Be healed
shout
tonight.
Unto God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up.
Come on, spontaneous. If he's been good, give him a shout. If he's been good, give him a praise tonight. Hallelujah.
We lift your name up. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. Shout out to God with the voice of praise.
With the voice of praise.
Shout out to God with the voice of triumph.
Come on, even the sound booth is praising back there. Oh, touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Shout tonight. Seal it with a praise in this room. Oh, you're worthy, Jesus. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, 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 worthy. Come on now, clap your hands, all you people. Clap your hands. Hallelujah. Come on, clapping is the sound of authority. Oh, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I want to pray for you tonight before I turn it back to Pastor. Lord, I am asking you in the name of Jesus to let what you have deposited into this church tonight and into our hearts not be something that's quickly forgotten. God, I know I'm preaching to a crowd of people tonight that love you and they praise you with all of their heart. But God, you've called all of us tonight to go to another level.
And it's not only a level for us, it's a level for others. Because you're going to release an aroma through our lives, Father, where others are going to be drawn to you. You're going to release an atmosphere in this place, Father, that when the lost walk into this house and when the broken walk in, the praises of your people is going to cause an atmosphere, Lord, to be conducive for miracles, an atmosphere to be conducive for healings, an atmosphere to be conducive for revival in Heber Springs, Arkansas, oh God. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're taking our praise to another level. And Father, I pray for the pastors of this church. I thank you for them. I thank you for the voice that they are to this church and to this region, oh God. I thank you, Lord, that you've called them and you've raised them up for such a time as now. And Lord, this pastor would not schedule revival services if his heart was not hungry for revival. So God, would you visit us once again? Would you move by your Spirit once again? Would you send such a mighty move of God that these walls would not be able to contain it, Lord? But God, let us not wait until it happens to praise you. But God, we right now make a decision, a decree, and we declare that we're going to praise our way into revival. We're going to praise our way into the open heavens over this region. In the mighty name of Jesus, bless this church tonight, God. Bless this church tonight. I hear the Lord saying, I'm going to multiply the intercessors of this house. I hear the Lord say, I'm going to multiply the intercessors. Intercessors in this house right now, it's time for you to model the intercession. The only thing the disciples asked Jesus to teach them was teach us how to pray. So I want you to model it because God's going to multiply. I feel that. I've never said that anywhere at any time. Model it and God's going to multiply it in this place tonight. Come on, give the Lord a praise for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Pastor.
Church family, let's tag team with Pastor Dwayne for just a moment of time. You know, you've heard me be very transparent about the latter couple of years of our church. And, you know, churches have seasons just like you do. From the Genesis, he said there'll be seed time and harvest. There'll be cold and hot. And churches have seasons. Churches change. Identities change some. And, you know, I've been very transparent about the latter couple of years and the shifting and the shaping of our church and the identity of our church and to just let it come forth and let God to just bring it to let us be who he wants us to be. Come on, he's the potter, we're the clay. And so let's take a moment here tonight on the backdrop of such a powerful word that Brother Dwayne has brought to us. Let's pray that God shapes our church into who he wants us to be. Well, take a moment, because you know how real that's been to me. I couldn't be more transparent than I've been about this latter couple of years and this sometimes dry place, sometimes a lonely place, sometimes an uncertain place. God, from juniper trees to caves on the mountain, God, Father, just sometimes questioning, sometimes rejoicing. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray, Lord, that you're bringing our church to that season, God, of clarification. Father, if it's re-identification, Father, a reshaping, a renewing, God. Father, in the name of Jesus, an image that's being formed, Father, of who you have called this church to be for this season. Father, that you've called the assembly, Heber First Assembly, whoever we are, God, we just want to be who you want us to be. Father, we want it to be unified. God, we don't want 15 different people being one thing and 10 people being something else. God, we want to come in and we want to be of one mind and of one accord. Father, our hearts knit together in love, God, in Jesus' name. Because in that, in the power of agreement, God, you'll give us an identity. And so, Father, I share, God, tonight the sentiment and prayer and the prophetic word about intercessors, God. There are intercessors among us, God, that they have a call of intercession. Lord, I pray that their voices are beginning to be heard again, Father, in Jesus' name. crying out, God. Father, sometimes it's between the altar and the porch, but sometimes it's on the back porch, God. And it's just wherever they get an opportunity to then begin to intercede, Father, for our church and for Father, for the work of grace in this church family and through this church family. So God, tonight we receive the word that the man of God has brought to us. And it stirs us to believe. It causes us to yearn for more of you, God. Father, it causes us to yearn for more of your presence. To know you more intimately, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, to thank you, God. I remember I read in my private devotion this morning before church in John 14. When Philip said to Jesus, show us the Father and it will suffice us. And almost in reproof and almost in perplexity, Jesus said back to Philip, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not seen me? For he that has seen me has seen the Father. God, tonight I pray that through Christ we see you. Amen. That we know you as Father. That the cry of our heart is Abba. It's paternal. It's not just religious, but it's paternal. Because we're sons and daughters, you're Father. You're not just God. You're not just Elohim. You're not just Jehovah. You're Father to us tonight. God, we love you for God, for your, for our paternal communion and fellowship with you. I thank you tonight. God, before Pastor Dwayne and Macy can make their way back to Little Rock, we pray a great big God bless you and thank you for the man of God and the word of God. I believe that he was Titus among us tonight. God, you brought him here to comfort those, to encourage those. From all of us on the platform to the pew, you've comforted us, strengthened us, sharpened us. God, continue to bless him and his wife and their children and their great church that they're pastoring and the voice that they are in Little Rock and abroad. Father, we believe for good things to continue to happen. God, give them the desires of their heart and ministry. God, let their building program come to full fruition right before their eyes. God, their Family Life Center. And God, let it be a place of life. Yes. So God, we love you and I'm so thankful, God, for your great grace. Truly, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Yes. It's been good to be in the Lord's house. And we love you and we thank you for it tonight. In Jesus' name, and all God's children said amen and amen and amen and amen. Listen, hug somebody, love somebody. Tell them you're so glad they were at First Assembly tonight. We're so thankful for the presence of the Lord. If you get a chance to greet Pastor Dwayne, let him know you appreciate his ministry, the ministry of the word tonight. Let the Spirit of grace be upon you.